Hamburg.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Uncovering the Seniors, our podcast about the avant-garde music scene here in Copenhagen. I'm Jan Kardereit and my constant co-host is Jonanne Rones. This episode is a bit of an older episode. We actually recorded it more than a year ago, and I strongly regret that I didn't just upload it back then, but I can't change my mistakes in the past, but what I can change is your perception and knowledge of the past. So I think this is actually a great document about what the scene was like when we recorded it and still is influenced by it today. Because our great guests were Storm D'Angelo and Halim Kim, and they are or were the founder of the Monday band that played every Monday in the Mondays Club at 7 o'clock, the opening concert of the Mondays Club. Of course, Mondays Club sadly has closed since then, and actually Storm D'Angelo moved back to the United States. But I think it's still a very interesting episode and gives a lot of information about their projects. For example, also Halim's projects that are still going on, and they speak about the idea of why setting up this band, and they speak about their own music, and they speak about their experiences with the Monday Club band, and they also speak about the music they recorded with that project. So let's jump back roughly a year in time and enjoy this episode of Uncovering the Seniors. And our guests today are Halim Kim.
Thank you very much.
And Storm D'Angelo.
Hello, everyone.
Super nice to have you here. We really appreciate that you're here and taking your time. Yeah. And we're looking forward to speak about your music and your experiences here in the scene in Copenhagen and everything.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, great. Maybe let's get some background in the beginning. You both are not born and growing up here in Copenhagen. You both came here from somewhere else. How was it to come to the scene here for you, to Copenhagen? What was the reason? Maybe Storm, you can start and tell us a bit about it.
For me, I came from Seattle, and I lived in Boston. Then I kind of came to Copenhagen, not on a whim, but I needed a big change. And so I moved to Copenhagen with pretty much knowing only two people, Asker Thompson and Creston Osgood. So I kind of started from scratch. And thankfully, those are kind of two really good people to know coming in here.
How did you know them?
They visited Boston in 2015. 2016, I think, somewhere around there.
Okay, like on an exchange performing?
I think it was kind of a collaboration between the Rhythmic Music Conservatory trying to reach out into the U.S. and create sister school system.
Okay,
wow. I think that's what was going on. But they came in and played shows and stuff. And they also came with Jeppe Høyustesen. But he hasn't been around that much, so. Yeah, it was mostly Asker and Creston I knew and I talked to a bunch and whatever.
Yeah, as you said, that's a really good contact to have.
yeah, Creston knows everyone somehow.
And everyone knows him.
Yeah,
maybe certainly. more that.
No, perfect. And then you came here and, I mean, they helped you to get to know the scene, I guess, or?
Yeah, the day I arrived here, got off the airport, came to Central Station, and then played a show at 5E Mandisklubben. I think 2 hours after I got off the plane.
Awesome,
It was the last show of the night.
Yeah, like the midnight set, or like supposedly midnight, but
yeah,
the actual
one in the morning. Yeah. And so we came and I played that show, and then I was gonna live at Asker's place while he was in Germany, so he took me back to his place, and that was the beginning.
Okay, awesome.
The very first day.
That's such a great direct plunge into the whole thing here.
Yeah, then, you know, you end up starting new bands or trying stuff out, and like the Monday band, whatever, and we end up being at 5E pretty much every single week since I first got here.
For 3 years.
Yeah, for 3 years.
Awesome. Hallam. How was it for you? Like, where?
I mean, I never heard about the Copenhagen or the Danish music scene. I have to admit, it's a little bit naive, or it could be also a little bit ignorant, but I never heard about Denmark before and connected to the music scene. At that time I was finished with my bachelor studies in Dresden, and then I moved back to Berlin and lived there for 2 years as a freelancer. Mm. And then I thought about doing a master, but I didn't want to do it in Germany, so I tried to apply for New York.
Yeah.
And also applied for a German scholarship called DAAD, where you also applied and you got a scholarship. And the jury said at that time, you should not go to New York, you should go to Copenhagen, to RMC.
Oh, cool.
Because it fits so perfect to your application, it fits perfectly to your music and style and what you would like to do. And then that's the reason why I came to Copenhagen.
That was 2 years ago, right?
Or it was 2 years ago, yes.
And the jury told you should check out Copenhagen.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised because I never expected like Denmark or any European city. I didn't expect it. So I was super opened to Copenhagen, and I really didn't know what to expect. Yeah. But that was also super great because with this non-expectations, I went to 5E, which was a mind-blowing experience.
Mm-hmm.
I met like Chris Norskud, Kasper Tramberg, Lotte Anker, and Jakob Andersko, which was super, super nice. And then I went to Freedom Music Festival in Konzertkirchen.
Yeah.
I went to Nørrebro, Vesterbro. Yeah, and it was so, so inspiring. So it was for me very, very refreshing to move to Copenhagen and to check out the scene here.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, super cool. Like, I'm just wondering how the jury came up with suggesting Copenhagen.
No, because I mean, they are, I have heard that they're usually not doing it.
Yeah.
They can just say yes to your application or no, but they are not allowed to intervene or to to influence your suggestion. What is it called?
Change your plans.
Yeah, exactly. So that was quite new. That was the first time they told me that it ever happened. But it was super great for me. I mean, if they wouldn't have do it, then maybe I would be in New York and maybe have other great inspirations or not so great inspirations. But for me, it was the perfect thing at that time.
How do you both feel like the scene is different here compared to the places you were before, like in Dresden or Berlin, or were you in Seattle and Boston?
Copenhagen's like it's so different in so many ways. I mean, first of all,
it's much smaller, right? I think.
Yeah, it's smaller, but in Seattle and Boston, for that matter, like there's a large scene, but it's made up of small bodies, so it's not like that much different in a way. Like there's substantially more musicians in Boston than most places in the world, because of like Berkeley and the Lincoln Conservatory and BOCO and all those places. But you know, within that, then there's like the groups of different genres, and then in those genres, there's like the cliques in those genres, and then the people who actually jam and hang out all the time and whatever. So it is different, yes, because there's less people, but it's still kind of the same creative energy, I guess, at its base. Like, you get together with me and Halim, play and whatever, and then that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see everyone every single day. So in that way, it's kind of the same. I think the biggest difference is that people have a little bit more give here, a little leeway to try things than they probably do in, especially Boston for me, but in Seattle. Like in Seattle, we have the Racer sessions, which are free improvised music sessions where you just go up and you jam and then you get off and then someone else comes up and stuff like that. And that's kind of where I grew up in music. I was going to those sessions. But that was kind of it. That was the only one. There was no things like the Monday Band or 5E or like while I was there, I must say.
It might have changed, right?
It may have changed. I actually haven't been back in some time. So, but there wasn't really that opportunity or Concertkirchen. There's so many venues that you can just mayhem. You can just try stuff or rent the space or just use the space for free and then try something out. There's a lot of opportunities here because of I don't know, the economic standings, the social standings with people, and arguably a greater scene for trying new musics or improvised music, but not necessarily jazz, not necessarily pop or techno or whatever it is. Like, that I think becomes kind of irrelevant, is just trying something new. And new is also subjective to the individual, of course. But
I totally agree. I mean, Berlin is also very great. And it has a very, very diverse and very big scene. But it's also, on the other hand, you have also super, super much input and a lot of great musicians. And it's very hard to get, for me, it was very hard to get in contact with those people.
Oh, in Berlin, yeah.
In Berlin. And like in Copenhagen, if you go to a concert and you think, that saxophone player is super great, then it's easier for me, at least here in Copenhagen, to get in contact with that person and to make a project or play a concert. Because in Berlin, if you want to play a concert, you need like 3 to 6 months time to book a concert. And then it's just a door gig or and stuff. So it's really... For me, it was in Berlin really hard to get in contact with people who I really respect and really like, which here is super nice. And sometimes I met people like in front of Konzertkirchen or at Club Primi, and we just hang out and then we introduce to each other like, and then we should have a session or let's go have a beer or something. It's so I think, Copenhagen is has also the same energy. Also like Berlin, in my opinion at least, but it's super easy and super cozy to get in contact with the people. And for improvised music, I mean, right now we have Mandersklubben, which has concerts for improvised music every week. And then we have Club Primi. And then also we have Luther Oehr. So you have like three venues every week playing playing great music.
Yeah, and like five concerts a day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, sometimes it's even too much. Like it's starting together. No, I mean, like I totally agree. When I got here first, I was so surprised how welcoming the scene is for me. Like, it was crazy how open-minded and how warm everyone was to me. Like, I was, I came, they didn't know about me, right? Like, I was just a new face, and like, just in a short amount of time, everyone was like, "Oh, cool! What are you doing? Yeah, we should meet up," and blah blah blah.
Exactly.
Whereas where I lived before, it was like in Amsterdam, for example, it was more. Who are you? Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. And then, I mean, they were friendly. No doubt about it, right? They weren't assholes or something, but it was just not this vibe of like, hey, I'm interested in what you do, which really struck me here. I don't know. Like,
I totally agree. I don't know if it's Danish or if it's Copenhagen or, I don't know, but in other cities, I totally agree with you. You are the new guy, so you have to introduce yourself properly, and then you have to prove yourself who you are.
Yeah.
And here... People ask me like, where are you from? Okay, what kind of music? Are you also studying? And you have a lot of questions. And then also like, we should jam and stuff. So I totally agree with you.
That's a cool thing.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it necessarily is Danish even. Because like, at least like... The Scandinavian vibe is like, it's not super social, right?
No, you don't think so?
It's not like...
I think it's very friendly, but...
It's friendly, but like, you don't really speak to randoms.
And
but
there's this polite distance, I guess.
But in the improv scene, it's the music scene or the jazz scene, which is all everything I know. It's not really like that. It's more... It's more open to new people and more.
You have a different experience in general.
Yeah, it's just, but it's also because I'm from Berlin, and it's the I think one of the roughest city to make friends. And then you are very happy to get out. And then I was also doing a vacation in Amsterdam and realized everybody's smiling on the streets and they say hello, and then they are so nice. And if you ask where is this coffee shop here in the. And then they say, I can take you to that place. It's on my direction. And it was the same like in Copenhagen. People are like, it's really nice to meet you. Maybe you can say it's like politeness, but I think it's better than this Berlin roughness.
Berlin is famous for being a bit rough and direct. Yeah, that's true.
I think a huge point in this debate is how you approach coming into a place. Because much like Halim, my experience mostly with Danish people has been like extraordinarily friendly, sociable, whatever. But it's super easy to talk to me because I'm an American tenor saxophonist who's been living here for 3 years and doesn't speak fluently Danish. So that's really weird. And there's a lot of topics you can base everything off of just from saying hello to me. You know, like, oh, you're a saxophonist. Oh, you've been here for 3 years. What? Do you know Danish? No. Why don't you know Danish? Et cetera, et cetera. So it's really easy to like kind of, I think, break the threshold.
Like the small talk or the deeper type of small talk.
Yeah, like the step down from just like, how's the weather? Yeah, it's like, oh, what about you?
Yeah,
and then I can reflect onto them based on the way they ask me things. And it becomes very easy, I think. Whereas I've experienced where some of my friends who are Danish will have a harder time breaking that boundary because they all have similar backgrounds in a not super large country. If you say, I'm from this city, like, oh, I know that city because I've been to Aarhus, I've been to, you know, I've been on Foon before.
My aunt is from there.
Interesting,
Yeah, exactly. there's always some connection and being like Halim and myself from foreign countries, I think it becomes a little bit easier.
Like we are, like everyone here.
Yeah.
I'm the least foreign of the foreigners.
One thing I'm really curious about is like you both of you as far as I can tell from outside, you started together in the Monday band, right? Or was that
no,
how did that
I was a later addition actually.
You were later
invited, or how do you say, he joined it later.
So it was your brainchild.
Yes, you can say that. I mean, at that time there were also different people like starting it, like in terms of being there for every rehearsal. I mean, and then also playing the first three or four concerts in the same constellation.
Yeah. Just could you shortly tell what the Monday Band is for those that don't know?
The Monday Band is a... I think Storm is better because he wrote a paper on that.
Oh, okay.
So the Monday Band is an improvised music collective. However, improvised can be taken one way or another. It's, you know, we really try to strive to be able to allow all musicians from all backgrounds in this band. It's a very large collective with like 50 or so people. And when we say that, it doesn't mean 50 people are active. People are allowed to be active, inactive, going in and out of the band. Maybe you travel for 6 months and come back. Then you can come play a show if you're available. And we play every Monday at 5E Mandisgluben. Which is why we're called the Monday Band, the Monday Club. And we just try to really like have new curators every week, different people from all over the place. And me and Halim are the people who kind of manage it, I guess. We're management.
That's how you do a project description.
Sounded great.
I mean, that's what it is. It's a talk band, you could say. I mean, we have the only condition, I don't know, the only condition we have is to, if you want to play on one Monday, you have to be part of the rehearsal one day before.
On
the Sunday,
That's the only condition we have. So it's pretty free and it's pretty open for everybody.
And then really fits, I mean, the whole idea of the Monday Mandasklub in general, right? Like with Kristen not having a limitation on who's allowed to play there who's not.
Sometimes you hear a pop show and then like a really crazy free improvised thing at once.
I mean, I was also very inspired by that place when I started the Monday Band. And then I just thought like, wow, this is such a nice club and such nice concept that everybody's allowed to play there. And then I thought, but why does this club doesn't have a house band? Like a own large ensemble which plays every week. And then I forgot about that thought. And then I had, when I was sleeping, I had a dream about, okay, now I'm starting a big band. And then I woke up and I was what was that dream about? And then I forgot about the dream for 2 weeks. And then it came up again. And then I thought, oh man, the dream was so clear. And why not actually? And then I talked with Christian and started it.
Awesome, yeah.
I can't believe we're a dream band.
It is, literally. I know, really had this.
I knew it was from the 70s. I knew it.
That's so cool, yeah.
Yeah, but right now, Storm...
When was that, roughly? Sorry to interrupt you.
2017 in November, I think.
So, like, just 2 months after you arrived, right?
Three or 4 months.
Yeah, so cool, yeah. Also, that, I mean, everyone was so happy about it. You being a new person in the scene, right? I mean, what you spoke about before.
Yeah.
And you established something like that, and everyone is like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, or at least that's how it looked from the outside. Or
and like, I mean, I'm glad it looks that way from the outside.
I mean, it went so easy also. Mm. I mean, if Kristen or Mendersklub had said no, then I think the idea wouldn't work.
Yeah, sure.
And if the other people are not so into that idea, it wouldn't work. But I was just asking Kristen, and then I just thought about, okay, how we can do things. And of course, in the beginning, it was more organization. Like, we had different rehearsal time and, like, different constellations and then and stuff like that. And we weren't sure how to do it. Is it always improvised, or is everybody writing everything for the band, or do we have one composer and stuff? But right now, it's like going by itself. I mean, I'm not doing so much organization. Storm is doing a lot of organization right now. Mm-hmm. But the system right now would also work, or we hope that it will hopefully work without us in the future.
Just pass the torch on.
Yeah, it's pretty self-sufficient machine. Yeah. And I think... I may have done a little bit of wrong by the Monday band by being overly proactive and doing stuff like scheduling like the recording session that we did and really actively talking in chat, because now it kind of seems like there's a lot to do, like if you're going to take the management role, but really it's just taking a bunch of names down who says they can go there and booking a room. It's like two steps and you're good.
That's for the regular concerts on Monday.
Yeah.
Because the recording setup... Sorry, you wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
Okay. Because the recording, I would love to speak about that. Like, so you wrote to everyone in the collective and you said like, hey, let's record for some days. And that's a month ago by now, I guess.
Yeah, it was in March.
Yeah. And I was Doxed. Really sad that I couldn't be part of it because I had family stuff going on. Mm. But...
That's how the Monday band works.
Yeah, exactly. But so I think it was 4 days. Was it 3 days or 4 days?
3 days.
3 days. Yeah. And you also, again, like the concept, you took curators, or you took someone that would be in charge for 4 hours of the recording, right? Musically?
Yeah, this was kind of my brainchild that I've been planning on doing. And I've been spending a lot of the past, a substantial part of my past few years learning how to produce and work with electronics and understanding that whole world, because I came to Copenhagen with pretty much purely instrumental, acoustic instrumental background. Mm-hmm. So I was really trying to like bolster that so I could make music. And then when I became a part of the Monday band and stuff, I was like, well, we have to do a recording session. And that's something that I want to be able to do on my own with no help, air quotes. If people wanted to help, of course, anyone can help. But that's the Monday band way. But so it was really like, I was like, all right, now we're doing it. Now's the time. We have like just after break, everybody comes back from winter and family and holidays. And some people go into like Italy and whatever. And so I come back and then 3 days, nine curators.
Yeah, it was three every day, wasn't it?
Yeah, three every day. Except for one day?
Maybe it was four.
Saturday was two maybe, right?
Yes. Yeah, Saturday was two.
Was Kristen and Peter or something?
No.
Nana and Peter.
Nana and Peter.
Cool.
Who were the other... sorry to interrupt again, but you remember the curators? No.
Yeah, I can do... I think I can do this. So we started with... What?
Who was a folk man?
No, it was... she was second.
Second.
It was Julius Windisch.
Yeah. Windisch, yeah.
Windisch. And then third was Sven Meinold.
Yes. Meinold.
Then it was Creston Osgood.
Yes.
Hein Westgaard.
Yes.
Then improvisations, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
then it was improvisations. And then it was Nana P.
Petter Asbjørnsen.
And then Petter Asbjørnsen. And then improvisations. Yeah. Yeah, cool, so yeah. The whole idea was originally... I was just going to like kind of like set up some mics and put them around and then be the only just a producer and not play. And then everyone's going to come in as they want to and open the doors, come improvise and then just leave and get the hell out when they needed to. But as soon as I brought this idea up, people were like, hey, I have some stuff that I'd love to have recorded that, you know, is for the Monday band. And some of our usual composers or musicians were like, yeah, I want to do that. And because they really know the mindset of the Monday band and stuff like that. It was like, sure, you can do it. And then it ended up being like, you know, a bunch of composers and curators and doing a bunch of different things that they really enjoy doing. And I was like, all right, cool. So we ended up doing improv production and improvised music along with some compositions. So it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was really cool to be a part of it. I was there at two sessions.
Yeah.
Julius and Kristen. It was really great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
And how much material do we have? Like several hours?
I think we have 6 hours of material.
Wow.
Yeah. But I boiled it down, I think, to three.
Okay.
I sat with the recordings in the studio and listened to, not all of it, but like if there was like some major point that I knew the composer wouldn't like, because some composers were like, hey, if this happens, I don't want it. Like if things, you know, in clipping and anything like that. So I think I was able to boil it down to three. And hopefully Barefoot, Ilk, and Smek in Norway, they're down to take up the records because we had some conversations with them. So hopefully some of it might get released on some label.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm really looking forward to listen to that. I mean, we had the little taste we got from you yesterday that you sent out, which sounded really cool. I mean, the sound quality was
it was awesome.
Really, really good.
Actually. Ta-da!
Thanks, man. that for me was something I'm going to carry with me for my entire life is essentially being the solo producer with 12 people crossing into a room, all like trying to like some people leaving, some people coming in. Yeah. We have to change the whole dynamic of the room, isolation and stuff.
And you also playing. I remember on the Kristen session, you were playing saxophone, improvising with the headphones on, like checking the levels. Like,
That was a particularly really memorable one. not only because I think my favorite part of that whole session was actually your solo, like, 2/3 of the way through the song, you have like a improvised thing where Kristen was telling you to like improvise, and you're playing the electric
synth guitar.
And all of a sudden, it turns into this like super like Tift jam, like burn it, burn it, turn it. And there's just like this really, really cool moment that is absolutely, I think, my favorite moment of the whole thing, just because so different than everything else. And it kind of like, I mean, like the whole entire sessions, like it was so different. And I think that's kind of one of the really cool things that for me, Copenhagen in general, and this is kind of like, I guess, bringing it back around, brought to me as a musician was improvised music, creative music, pop music, composed. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be literally anything. And it kind of all happens at once in this city. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have a Kristen Osgood doing Kristen's thing, and if you don't know Kristen Osgood and you listen to this, you should YouTube him. But if he's doing his thing, then all of a sudden someone comes in with like a samba or something. Yeah. Everyone in the room's like, "Yeah, we're doing this now," and it's totally okay. Everyone's like, "Okay," and friendly with it. Like, no one's gonna be like, "Oh, you're playing a samba. This is a jazz jam."
Yeah, I watched the synth. Was it the synth hell with?
That was cool. Yeah.
Nicolai has
nightmare.
Nightmare was involved on 5e when his last residency, and Kristen was just like on fire. And it was so fun.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there was 8 keyboardists on stage plus 2 percussionists. Yeah, I mean, the drum and
conga, and Kristen was playing Casio keyboard, mic'd up with a mic because there's no like.
Oh, that's brilliant!
They didn't have an output for the keyboard, so they just put a mic on the speaker of the cheap Casio keyboard.
And it just kept falling.
That was so great.
And then, I mean, obviously he had to use the samples, right? So there was this fanfare and this trumpet thing on this Casio keyboard.
And there was also a really weird rhythm. He just pushed it and it was...
That was so good. I love that so much.
That was super cool, but it's true what you say, like that here in the scene it doesn't feel political about like you when you play free modern whatever the words right, but like it has to be like this or something. It feels more relaxed about, oh, so you want to go into a samba groove, that's fine, right?
Yeah,
it's like
it's very genreless, I think. And it's always strange to be in a genre-less society, which is like, I guess, our major social group throughout Copenhagen, going into Scandinavian Germany. But like being genreless and then having people who join from the outside, like if someone's on tour and they visit you, or you know, you have like a teacher come and educate you, and they try to, you try to describe what you're doing and how you're doing it, but it's kind of hard to describe, for me at least, outside of this scene. If I talk to any of you guys about, yeah, no, the music I'm making and I can describe it, there's a predisposition to knowing where we're at this kind of genre list. You're like, you're metal, but you're also a little punk, and then some jazz elements, and but it's not really any of those. Like my band Vessels is considered self-proclaimed jazz metal. Though I don't think black we're jazz. Yeah.
What did you say?
Black jazz. But that's already coined by a Norwegian band.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, we're like, so.
Like, instead of black metal?
Yeah, they took like, because Venom, the band that created the genre, their first album is, or second album is called black metal, and then that become a genre. So they wanted to do the same, so they just called it black jazz and put out the album. It's a pretty good album. And then they tried to make that a genre.
Shining. Actually, now I remember. Cool. Yeah. That's a good album.
Anyway, sorry.
No, but yeah, I mean,
I don't know if that genre would fly in the US, but.
Difficult.
Maybe not. No. Yeah, it has maybe some issues there.
I mean,
connotations.
Do they call it like sword jazz? Like sword jazz or something?
No, they call it black jazz.
Yeah, in like American English.
Yeah, I guess.
It's
I mean, black metal isn't only for Afro-Americans, right? So I think, and that genre kind of works some way. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I just find it funny. I'm super curious.
There will be definitely issues with this term.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I never thought of that before.
Well, I'm the American, so
yeah, that's good.
You were speaking about your band Vessels. And you were saying that you're using different genres without using different genres in the sense of like narrow-minded, because it sounds really random if you tell it to someone that maybe doesn't know you or the scene here, that you're saying totally. That you're doing metal and jazz. It sounds like you're going from into ting ting ding ting ding ting ding.
Yeah, which it's not. It's like a hard blend of the two, I guess. I play tenor saxophone, so if I play any kind of music, it gets labeled jazz. Just because culturally,
because you're playing saxophone.
I'm playing saxophone, and that's something that for quite some time I've been trying to like subvert, I guess.
There is actually one way you can play bolero, and that way you can play tenor saxophone without playing jazz.
Yeah,
I think that's the only way you can get away with it.
Yeah, it's a weird cultural phenomena. So I think the jazz comes more from my saxophone-ness rather than like. Because we don't use jazz chords or anything like that, and it's actually pretty non-harmonic, I would say, because our guitar player, Masuric, is usually playing single-tone phrases. He's not like a strumming guitar. He's more like a picking guitar. And then Soren Hoy, who's just a crazy drummer, he plays, you know, Soren Hoy, which is like insane polyrhythmic metal stuff.
Super cool, yeah.
But then there's like this element of melodicism that I'm trying to use, like instead of vocals, saxophone. Is the idea.
Is it a trio?
Yeah, it's a trio.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, so there's like a chordal instrument, I guess, and I know that Wynton Marsalis would not like to have anyone label us as jazz. I think he'd be pretty upset about that.
Yeah.
Probably.
And I'm pretty sure that the metal community would kind of be okay with us being called metal, like, because we have some elements of that naturally, but yeah, I think it's a... part of this culture that we have of like subverting genre.
Yeah.
Like the Monday band isn't technically an improvised music band. There's been many times where we don't have any improvisation at all, but it's easier to call it an improvised music collective because
sounds cool.
Yeah. It sounds cool.
Yeah. It also sounds creative. It sounds like it has this flow of transforming. But if you say like, yeah, we have composers, then it sounds static. Kind of.
Yeah. Which is why I started using the term curator. Instead of composer.
It's a clever term,
Yeah, they started when I was at the Racer Sessions in Seattle in my teens. Like, that's what they called it. They weren't composers, they were curators.
Yeah.
Because they weren't really always writing music. Some people, you know, don't even know what...
Graphic scores.
Some people don't know what notation is.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's totally okay. And in a classical way, that makes you not a composer. technically. But you are an artist and you're doing your art and you're directing people, so you're curating. And I think that's a really cool term to use. That's why I like using that term, because I think it would allow for a painter or something to be like, hey, you know, I kind of want to direct these people, so that's can cool. I do that? It's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Did you have like some dancer or painter yet to take over the Monday Band for a Monday?
Not a painter, and also not a...
We've had dancers join.
A poet, or, yeah.
Oh, we had a poet.
Martin Lau from Germany.
Yeah.
That was super great.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Because he's writing so nice lyrics. And he was there. He was here, and then we worked on his pieces. And then he said, like, he has some written musical like material, but he doesn't know if it's working for us because it was not him who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay. And then we just tried it out. But his lyrics are so strong that it actually doesn't matter what kind of music you have, because the lyrics are so poetic, but also rhythmical. And and also, if you understand German, then it's so funny, because some of them were just in German. And it was about an astronaut transverting his gender from male into a female in some cosmic space. And it was so funny.
That sounds super cool.
I don't know. With painters, like one painter curating the Monday Band, I can't remember. So
yeah, well. I don't think we've had like that. But it's has a
That's
lot.
That's an
to do
open
with
call then right now. If any painter or poet or anything is listening, dancer, they should definitely write your guys.
Are gymnasts invited?
Yeah, absolutely,
of course.
Yeah, we've had like dancers and stuff from the Siena School come in
as participants.
And also, if you want to be a part of the Monday Band, you don't. There's no real commitment to just joining the chat. And if you're free a day and you don't necessarily want to curate or have you be the forefront, you can easily just be a painter in the back of 5E if you want, and just painting in the back while we do a show. Like, we're all together in this art world, but it's up to you.
It's an open call right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is an open call for the Monday Band.
We need
a phone number. 8625-999-1040-55. Call that.
You want
call that number now and tell me what they say.
That was a long number. Do you? I mean, like, just now while we're at it, do you want them to contact you by mail or Facebook or whatever? Or?
Oh yeah, we have a Facebook, the Monday Band Facebook, and there's contact for me and Halim on there, as well as you can just message us on that, and it'll show up into our feeds. Also, if you come down to 5E and just talk to pretty much anyone there, and you say, "Hey, I need to contact the Monday Band," they'll know someone to contact. If it's not us, then it's someone else.
Because all of the 50 people in the chat, or 80 or how many it is, has power to put people in the chat.
It's an equal distribution. Me and Halim just make sure that everyone knows that they're playing or not playing.
Exactly.
Just making the decision for the dates. Cool. We spoke about Vessels. Maybe we can speak a bit about your music, Halim, because you're obviously doing more music than just the Monday Band.
Yes. Right now I'm focusing a lot in traditional Korean music, I think.
Nice,
Because last semester I was in South Korea for 3 months and just studying Korean percussion, Korean traditional dance, and Korean traditional singing, which was super, super nice, because I was born in Korea, but I was raised in Germany. So I never had so deep connections to South Korea. And then through the music, I had this feeling of that I would like to know myself better.
Mm.
And the music of traditional Korean music, it opened my eyes totally.
Wonderful,
Were they played like a lot of Korean music in your home while you were growing up?
No, not at all. No? I mean, the first music I have heard was, I think, some classical music from some LPs my father had. And then I listened to, I don't know, the teenage bands like Backstreet Boys.
Okay. Not even K-pop, but...
K-pop. There was no K-pop at that time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then, I played jazz when I was 16, 17. And I discovered the music when I was 22 or 20, I think. Okay. And it was super, super nice. Mm. And right now in Copenhagen, I'm doing a lot of projects in improvised music or conceptual improvising. And I always had the feeling that this improvising music and South Korean, Korean traditional music fits very well together. So I'm researching on that and how to transfer those Korean ideas into an European context or improvised context.
Mm. Can you speak a little bit about the what the Korean ideas is? Because I don't really know a lot about that music, I have to say.
I mean, traditional Korean music has a lot of philosophical elements.
Okay.
With it has also a strong yin-yang connection. Like, if you have a heavy part, then you have a light part. If you are pulling something, then something has to be pushed.
Okay.
And they focus also a lot about breathing. They call it just breathing. And then it could be that two people are playing well together, then they say they share the same breathing.
Mm.
Or when you play a solo rhythm and then you are playing it and then people say, he's breathing well. So it has some kind of, it has something to do with a flow. It has something to do with energy.
Yeah.
It's a very abstract word because it means a lot.
Mm.
It means playing together, playing at the same time, but it also means like commenting to each other's playing. So, and Korean music has a lot of that, I think. And different to the European tradition where the piano is the central role of all the music, in traditional Korean music, the Korean drum is the central role.
So the changgu or the...
Exactly, changgu or the soribuk for vocal pieces.
Yeah.
So, like everybody in Europe, when they play a classical concert, they have a piano player as a company. But in Korean music, they have just the Korean drums as a company, which is takes I don't know. For me, it's a very different perspective of music and valuing also the music.
Yeah, I was for a bit over a month in Korea last year or 2 years ago, and I also had some lessons with in traditional Korean music, and I remember this breathing thing really, really opening my eyes. I had to speak English, right? So there was only the word breathing and limited way of expressing that to me, I guess. But I lived in India and had tabla lessons there and no philosophical or spiritual background of playing music and everything. But this breathing thing was really on a different level. It was really, really interesting. And I remember practicing with my teacher for a long time, just like, no, your breathing is wrong for this one hit.
Yeah,
just making
exactly.
one hit, right? Like just raising my arm and going, dung. And I'm like, no, your breathing was off.
Yeah.
And just doing that. And then when it finally... Like, finally, I made one good hit. It was like, yeah, now you got it. And also my teacher being so able to see and feel exactly how, if I was breathing correctly or not. Like, you can't hear it in that moment, right? But she was really totally point on, and she could directly hear how I, in the music, in the beating of the drum, if I did it right. And that was really, really interesting and really intense.
Yeah, for me, it's like mind-blowing because breathing is the... It's a necessity, right?
Yeah.
We have to breathe to live.
Mm.
But we don't talk so much about breathing. I mean, of course, horn players do talk about breathing, but that's like how I have to breathe to get this note.
Yeah.
But this breathing concept in Korean music, it's like a whole awareness of the whole music all the time,
if
you're playing or not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, for us, percussionists or drummers, it's different from like playing the saxophone. We don't necessarily have to breathe in a certain pattern to create a beat or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to adapt those kind of elements into a European or into an improvised music context.
Mm.
But it's not super easy because if you're working with European musicians, with international musicians who never heard about Korean music, then it's super hard to tell them, no, you have to move like this, and this is more an abstract energy which flows like this. That's super hard, but I think it's also very interesting to work on that field, because there is not so much people in improvised music working on that specific field, I think.
How do you feel it changes, like if you improvise with a certain group and then you tell them, no, the breathing was wrong and I wanted this, or whatever you tell them, how do you feel, how do you see the change, or do you see a change, and what does, what implication does it have on the music?
I mean, it's super, super abstract and it's really, really hard to adapt. But I mean, when I work with some musicians, and what I'm doing right now is that the music has some different kind of flow and a different kind of movement, which is also very, very abstract. And probably if you listen, if you just listen to the music without any visual references, then it maybe sound for everybody the same. But if you go to a concert and see the people like being aware of this kind of energy flow, so, and your body is moving differently, and therefore, in my theory, also the music is sounding different. So, I mean, and also the fact that you are confronting the musicians with this abstract term of breathing and of movements, they have some imaginations of some movements and some curves and stuff. And therefore, I truly believe that the music sounds different. I don't say it's better that way or it's... yeah, but...
but it could be better.
It could be better, yes.
I mean, I think it's allowed to believe that it could be better, or else it seems... Yes.
And you're not playing traditional Korean instruments in your performance here, or are you?
Not right now.
Not right now, yeah.
I mean,
Gengri or something?
Like no, that. I mean, I tried a solo performance where I had the Gengri also... but in the Korean percussion instruments, you always need both hands.
Mm.
So it's really hard to combine it with drums, where you also need both hands. So I tried it sometimes.
You cannot add another layer or anything, you say, right? It's, like it's like one thing, yeah.
I mean, at that time, I played the Gengri and just added my feet from the drum set.
Yeah.
But that was it. And then I was also very limited.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing that so much.
Yeah.
But maybe in the future, yeah.
I mean, also in traditional Korean music, there's multiple percussionists, right? Like, it's really unusual to just have one percussionist on stage, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like classical education and classical percussion. It's not just timpani you are learning. You have you have a very different education and different music styles, and also different instruments like gongs or other percussion instruments.
Oh, it sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hear more of that.
We heard like a little bit from what you sent. That was you tried the you, like
live. No, that was just improvised.
That was just improvised.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you have a specific project where you really like do it with the fixed same people?
Yeah,
work on this. Or
yeah, I'm doing.
What's
that,
the name of that?
It's called right now Project Bijul.
Bijul, yeah.
Yeah, Bijul, which means the ratio balance. And I'm doing that with Eloa Kalame on bass clarinet, Nana P on tenor saxophone, Eric Kimmister on trumpet, and Gjergos Tavit on piano.
Nice, yeah.
And I'm composing for that band and talk also about some Korean elements. But there, the compositions are our main reference, which is an interpretation of some Korean traditional elements.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice.
Super cool.
Yeah. Are you playing with this band soon or something, or is this in the work?
We are
just
playing.
To plug you right now.
We are playing at the 20th of May at 5E at 11 o'clock.
20th of May.
Yeah, I'll try to be there for sure.
Yeah. That's in two weeks or something.
Yes.
Yeah, today is the 7th. Yeah. So yeah. Quite Doxed. Exactly.
Hmm? Doxed. Doxed.
RIP.
What? I'm lost. Okay, cool. How's the time? Do we have do we have a few more minutes? It's
13:20.
And you guys have to leave soon or?
No, yeah, soonish.
I have nothing to do. Okay. Except for everything.
Oh no, that's the worst.
Nice. But we spoke about the scene, we spoke about the Monday Band, which was really interesting, and about your own music. Maybe we can just wrap it up here, right?
Or yeah, I think that would be fine.
Does anyone have a question to anyone?
No.
Great. Then thank you very, very much for coming here.
Thank you, guys.
Super interesting.
Thank you very much.
can you do a last plug with your like American announcement?
Yeah, plug for which thing?
Just plug the Monday Band. Just like coming every week to the town in Copenhagen next year.
Well, you've heard a lot today. There's been a lot of beautiful words said and a lot of wonderful things happening. But the one thing you can go home and remember is that the Monday Band plays every Monday at 5E Mandelsgluben, and it's going to be a wonderful event every Monday that you can take part in. So hit us up on Facebook or talk to me, Halim, or just literally anyone in the Copenhagen music scene. They know about us. Have a wonderful day.
And now comes a jingle.
Yeah.